just witness another glitch, or are we being warmed up for something far bigger on the horizon? Let's talk about it tonight.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, family? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scapell, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, do me a favor, two things quickly before we get started tonight on tonight's broadcast. Number one, if you've not smashed that like button, it would help us greatly to get our content out on these platforms. And number two, if this is your first time joining us, someone invited you to the broadcast, you stumbled upon us, whatever the case may be, let us know in the comment section below if you're able to, and so that we can acknowledge you. We want to welcome all of you guys on Rumble, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, whatever platform you may be watching or listening from. You got all of you guys in the chat room on YouTube who are always joining us on our 8 p.m. Eastern broadcast. We want to welcome you as well. You guys are like family. We see you. We notice you every single, or at least four times a week here. So we've got there's a lot of stuff we want to talk about tonight. Let me go to some scripture first. Genesis 11. I'm going to bring that up as a talking point. Genesis 11. Everybody is familiar. I'd say probably predominantly most of our audience here is familiar with the account of Genesis chapter 11. I believe in my opinion, and you've heard me, if you're a regular viewer of our podcast, you'll know that I've discussed this on multiple programs, how I believe Genesis 11 is a absolute picture. It's a type and shadow of a new world order. It's a type and shadow of a global government system that will be instituted in the last days. Now, again, historically, Genesis 11 was formed following a disaster that impacted the globe. And in that day, in the account of Genesis 11, it was the cataclysmic great deluge, or what you would call the flood of Noah. This global disaster, howbeit today it would be noted as a weather disaster. They would probably call it climate change or global warming, or they would somehow equate it with that. But nevertheless, there was the fountains of the deep burst forth and spilled into and covered the earth. The heavens above was rent. The water came from above and beneath, and the entire earth was flooded, wiping out everything that had the breath of God in it, howbeit except eight souls that were in the ark that were spared, and Noah was the one who spearheaded it all. He was the one who heard from God. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he built an ark for the saving of his household. So again, there is that picture of this. Why is this a picture of the new world order, or a coming global government system? Well, it's simple. Number one, the Bible says that all of the men of the earth had one language. They had one goal, and they had one intention, and that was to build and construct a tower that would reach to the heavens. Now, this was also spearheaded by one individual who led the cause, and his name was Nimrod. And when I did some historical research on this, I discovered that Nimrod's intention was that he was trying to defy the God of heaven, who had previously destroyed the earth of a flood. And he said that in the event that God would ever destroy the flood again, we will defy God and we will defeat all odds, and we will construct a tower that will reach above the judgment of God. Oh, come on, somebody. But how many knows that, come on, God is so high you can't get above him? He's so low, you can't go under him. He's so wide, you can't get around him. I'm trying to tell you today, when God sets out to judge a nation, judge a king, judge a wicked people, there ain't nothing you can do except for repent and turn from your sins and wicked ways. And then, just maybe then, by the mercy of God, he will relent and bring a reprieve. But if you think you're going to outsmart him, come on, he's the Ancient of Days. If you think you're going to outwit him, come on, he is wisdom personified. If you think that you're going to, come on, you're going to outlast him, he's the beginning, he's the end, he's the first, the last, the Alpha and the Omega, he that which was and is to come. So you ain't going to outsmart him, outwit him, outlive him or outnumber him. So it's amazing how all through ages, from the beginning of time, men have conspired to try to defeat God or try to come up with these nefarious plans and plots and schemes, again, in defiance of God, trying to build their own establishment or their own order. Now, having said that, Solomon says, again, y'all know this, you should know this. If you guys are regular viewers of our ministry, you should know these scriptures. Solomon said what? Come on, talk to me. What did he say in Ecclesiastes? The thing which was is the thing that which shall be. For there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anyone who can say, look, it's a new thing that it has not happened in times past? So now, Genesis 11, friends, let me tell you something. We're not going to have another Nimrod to try to build a tower to reach the heavens, but we are going to have, come on, a man. He will be a man. He will. The Bible calls him the son of perdition, the man of sin, the lawless one, the, in Greek, it's holento Christos, the Antichrist. John said the Antichrist is coming. There were many antichrists, plural, in John's day, being they operated in the spirit of antichrist and the characteristics and the attributes of the antichrist. But he said there's coming in the last days a man, a world leader, a figure, a man of war. You know that? The Bible says who can make war with the beast? He will come in a diplomacy of peace. But your Bible says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon him, because he will masquerade himself as a diplomat of peace. He will bring, the Bible says he will solve enigmas and riddles. He will utter dark sayings. He will attempt to change laws and times. And then his true identity will be revealed 42 months into his administration that he will set up. And then he will reveal his true identity. And then that's when he'll invade Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and take his headquarters, not in Washington, D.C., not in the White House, in Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. So, and your Bible says that this man will come alongside with another man who will rise up, and he will be a religious figure who will merge two apostate religions together, forming a world global religion. This will be a religion that I believe is not new. I believe it already exists. And this religion will deny that Jesus is the Son of God. It will deny that he's the Mashiach. It'll deny that he's the Messiah. It will deny that Jesus came in the flesh. It will, their statements of faith, if you will be so filled with blasphemy. And the Antichrist will parrot this. He will echo this. Your Bible says in the book of Daniel, in the book of John, written on the heads of the beast, the heads of his nations, the nations that will come under submission to him, and upon these crowns and upon his heads will be names of blasphemy. There will be blasphemic utterances that will be given, that will come forth out of the mouth of the Antichrist when he comes to power. He will blaspheme the God of heaven. He will cause great persecution against believers globally. Anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, they believe he was the Son of God, if they believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no other name under heaven has been given under men into which we must be saved but the name of Jesus, you will be hunted down, tracked down, and there will be great persecution against you. And if you're in the tribulation, you will eventually be forced to comply with a system that will be put in place. And if you don't comply to it, and you don't surrender to it, and you don't take the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, your Bible says you will be killed. John saw under the throne people from all over the nations of the world that had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus. So friends, we're not there now. The beast system is in the making. I believe the groundwork is being laid for it. The infrastructure is being laid for it. The blueprints are being laid for it. The conditioning of humanity is being laid. The groundwork for that is all being laid out. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Something has to get us, and you've heard me say this so many times, guys, but, you know, there's new people coming in. You invite your friends, you invite your coworkers, you invite your family to our podcast. And I want them to sit down and I want them to hear this and I want them to listen to this. The Bible is over 2,000 years old. And you think about this, and John in 95 AD stated that he looked out into the future and God showed him in a vision all the way out to a future of a civilization that it would require a buying, selling, and trading system that would require something put in the right hand or in the forehead. Okay? Now, again, decades ago, a century ago, it was almost impossible to even try to solve this enigma on how this was going to come to pass. But I don't believe, friends, that this is much of a mystery anymore. Now, it may be a mystery of what the mark of the beast is, per se, because the Bible says the name of the beast, the number of the beast, or the mark of the beast. The name, the number, or the mark. Okay? It's not just numerical. There's three ways that this mark will be instituted. You can either get the mark, the name, or the number of the beast in or on your right hand or in or on your forehead. So the Bible talks about this. Let he who has wisdom calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. It is 666. It's 666. But again, in the original, and we've pointed this out in another podcast, and I don't want to rehash all this. In the original oldest manuscripts of the Bible, it was not translated 666. It was three Greek letters, chi, sti, and stigma. And we pointed this out on other podcasts. And there's those symbols there. And I believe those symbols are directly connected to the Antichrist and his future religion. So again, we have to get there. Eventually, here's some things. Now look, this is going to be ready. I'm going to give you a shot. Here we are. You're going to come into the doctor's office. It's time to roll up your sleeve and it's time to, you're going to have to take a deep breath and you're going to have to take that shot. It's going to sting, but we're going to get through this together. And here it comes. Here comes a statement I'm going to make that's going to sting. If you're listening to me and you live in the West, I have news for you and it's going to be bad news. Ready? In order for this final empire to come to fruition and this system, the West has to be removed from the equation. They have to be removed from power. They will not be the superpower that they are today. And by the way, that's slowly happening right before our eyes. And I wouldn't even say slowly at this point. At one time, 10 years ago, it was slowly. Now it's really accelerating. America is more and more, you're seeing it more and more where America is just sliding out of the way as the sole superpower. And now why is that? Because again, you'll discover that when the Antichrist comes to power, there's going to be, at least we know of in Revelation, I believe it's Revelation 17, there'll be 10 kingdoms with 10 kings. We would call them 10 leaders or 10 world leaders. They will, again, they will surrender their power to the authority of the beast. I do not believe that America is one of those. Now, could we be? Sure. We could be one of those 10 kings that surrender, but that's even more terrifying. Again, that we would surrender our power to this government, this governmental leader that comes on the scene, this world leader called the Antichrist. So we could sit here and speculate, how in the world are we going to get to that point? How are we going to get there? Well, remember, friends, the Tower of Babel was inspired by a global disaster. Let me say that again, because that's deep. The Tower of Babel was inspired from a global disaster that impacted the whole world. So if it had not been for a global disaster, there would have been no desire to bring about a global new world order in defiance of God. So if history is going to repeat itself, there has to be a, watch this, either a global disaster, singular, or global disasters, plural, a sequence of disasters that will pave the way, ready for this, for the intentions that the elites and those behind the scenes in high positions are desiring to bring about a new world order in our lifetime that I believe will be the final world order that will ultimately, again, it will seat the Antichrist himself. So I believe we just witnessed an example of an event that is a, I call it a warm-up. It is a, it's a warm-up for us to, for what's coming. And I'm talking about the IT outage. They're calling this the IT outage of 2024. This recent one, this, what they're calling a glitch, a CrowdStrike defective software update. Particularly affecting computers running Microsoft Windows operating systems on July 19th. This event was caused by, again, what they say was defective software update.
Cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike says it identified a critical problem in its software and is working to fix the issue. Around the world, computer users were greeted with an error screen that some people have referred to as the Windows blue screen of death. The outage affected government entities and news organizations, as well as almost every industry across the globe, including banks, airports, healthcare providers, and retailers. According to FlightAware.com, an online flight tracking website, more than 27,000 flights were delayed globally.
Now, whether, if you want to buy that narrative, that's fine with me. I don't really care what you do with it. I'm just telling you the official narrative. And they're saying all this was just, again, another glitch and another software update. Remember, how many times have we been given this? AT&T has told us this. The airline industry has told us this. But nevertheless, let's get back to this. This recent major outage caused systems to display the blue screen of death, leading to significant disruptions across various sectors globally. The outage had a profound impact on multiple industries and transportation. Airlines were particularly hard hit. Thousands of flights delayed or canceled. And by the way, it's still going on. As a result of grounded planes and incapacitated crew tracking systems, major airports across the U.S., Europe, and other regions experienced chaos. Perhaps you saw the pictures as passengers were stranded due to the inability to check in or board flights. In the financial sector, banks, ATMs, all of these experienced service interruptions, preventing customers from accessing their accounts or making transactions. Major financial institutions and online payment systems faced outages, leading to significant operational disruption. Even healthcare systems suffered. Hospitals and emergency response systems in several countries experience complete downtime. Retailers unable to process transactions and broadcasting services were completely interrupted, affecting news and even entertainment programming. And guys, they're telling us this glitch could take weeks to fix. Weeks. Again, according to multiple outlets, this widespread Microsoft outage that has caused all this chaos, again, could take actually weeks to fix. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't just all that that was impacted, but here's a shock. This worldwide outage affecting Microsoft customers is also affecting early voting in several counties in Arizona for the July 30th primary election. I know you're shocked about that. According to the Maricopa County Elections Department, some in-person early voting locations are currently closed due to problems stemming from this outage. Now, if you listen to the introduction of this podcast, I told you that this was this a quote-unquote glitch or was it a warm-up for the big event that's coming? What am I talking about? Well, again, prophetically speaking, we just unveiled all that. We just rolled that out right off the bat with Genesis 11. I showed you the typology of that, the types and shadows, the pictures of that, and how we could see this come to pass in Revelation 13. But let me go back to the natural side of this. Well, if you remember, now we talked about this. Klaus Schwab, who is the current founder of the World Economic Forum, has warned about the severe threat posed by potential large-scale cyber attacks. Y'all remember that? He's come out various times in statements and said he believes that there is a large... He said that there is a potential, listen to this, for potential large-scale cyber attacks, plural tense, which he believes could surpass the impacts of the recent pandemic. Let me say that one more time. This founder of the World Economic Forum, you know, the creepy dude that said, you know, you will own nothing and be happy. This is the guy that has come out in these conferences and he comes out on these forums and he talks about this, these interviews. And he has said that he believes that there is a great threat to potential large scale cyber attacks, plural tense, which he believes could surpass the impacts of the pandemic. During various discussions, including Cyber Polygon in 3 years ago, in 2021, and the WEF Global Risk Report, Schwab emphasized that the increasing digitalization, I want you to remember that word, the increasing, or it's actually two words, increasing digitalization brought about by the pandemic has significantly heightened our vulnerability to cyber threats. Interesting. The WEF's Global Risk Report outlines how cyber incidents, including ransomware attacks, have surged, targeting critical infrastructure. Remember this as well, such as healthcare, utilities, transportation systems. All of these attacks not only disrupt services, but also erode public trust and have severe societal implications. In his report, he highlights that geopolitical instability makes a catastrophic cyber event likely in the near future, stressing the need for robust cybersecurity measures across both public and private sectors. Well, thankfully, guys, we've not had any cyber attacks. We've just had glitches. So we're pretty safe, right? Now, let's just, if you would, for a second with me, can we take just for a moment, and let's just say, let's just break this down. Let's break down a hypothesis here. What if a major global cyber attack was to happen? What would be the potential impacts? Well, number one, there'd be power outages. The electrical grid could be one of the primary targets, leading to widespread blackouts. This would impact homes, businesses, and essential services, even as such as hospitals. Then you'd have massive communication disruptions, telecommunication networks, including the internet, phone services, all disrupted, 9/11, emergency responses, all this completely shut down. And then there's transportation chaos, traffic signals, railways, airports, all of this would be compromised. And no doubt this would cause massive accidents, delays, and complete shutdowns. The financial sector would be rocked to the core. Banks, stock markets, online payment systems completely disrupted, leading to complete financial meltdown, panic, and instability, and in any inability to conduct transactions. Hello, kind of like what we saw last week. In some parts of the world, they were having these problems where they couldn't do it, and people were freaking out. And again, that's just a warm-up, friends. We ain't even got to the big events yet. I don't believe what we just saw was the big one at all. People were saying, oh, this is unprecedented. Nothing's ever happened. Well, sure, it may be, but this is, guys, this is nothing on the scale of what I believe that these guys know that's coming. And one of the infrastructures that would go down is the water supply. Water treatment plants and distribution systems would completely fail, likely leading to water shortages and contamination risk. And then, of course, the healthcare breakdown. You would have hospital systems and medical devices that would be completely impacted, impairing patient care and emergency services. And then if you got all these infrastructures going down, it poses a high risk to public safety. There would be rioting, civil unrest, martial law would probably be instituted. There would be food and resource shortages. Because think about it, guys, the disruptions that would take place would impact transportation and supply chains. This would lead to further food shortages, fuel shortages, and essential resources. And then the longer this would go on, and if it kept dragging on and dragging on, and by the way, they've said that if one of these solar flares, that if we had a Carrington event, which we didn't have this last one where we saw the auroras go all the way to at least Florida, if not further south, which was a major event, by the way, if we would have had a Carrington event, the event that happened in the 1800s, if we was to have that again in today's infrastructure, then it would put us back to the Stone Ages. And they say this could take years, literally years, to build back up. And again, the longer this goes on, it would push our global economy into a deep recession, even another depression. Then you would have national security threats. Countries would be faced with increased vulnerability to physical attacks or other forms of aggressions because they're completely down. Think about that. How terrifying is that? This country is completely in dark, and this country's still up from because they didn't get hit with the attack, and now they're able to come in just like an EMP. You throw an EMP over a country, you put it back in the Stone Ages, you come in, you could wipe them out just like that. Now, I want to shift gears here. I want to talk about this. The U.S. dollar is not dominant as it once was. There is an agenda to completely knock America out as far as the dominance, as the global force in the world. Many of you guys may have heard this, maybe not, but have you ever heard of BRICS, B-R-I-C-S? This is an acronym for five major emerging economies: Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. This group was originally known as BRIC before the inclusion of South Africa in 2010. Now, according to their official website, they aim to promote peace and security, hello, and development in their respective regions and globally. These five countries cooperate on various economic fronts, including trade, investment, and finance. They have established a NDB, and that's an acronym for New Development Bank, to fund infrastructure and sustainable development projects and other emerging economies. These five nations hold annual summits where leaders discuss issues of mutual interest. This is very important. Remember this. Again, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa hold annual summit meetings where their leaders discuss issues of mutual interest. These meetings provide a platform for dialogue and collaboration on global economic governance, political stability, and sustainable development. As of today, These nations of this group represent about 42% of the world's population, 23% of global GDP, and 17% of world trade. Now, why am I telling you this? I want you to look at this article. I want to look at this headline. BRICS lays out the blueprint for de-dollarization. Now, what have we been talking about on this program? Blueprints. We've been talking about the groundwork, everything for, watch this, to completely remove America out of the equation. BRICS is still dead set on dethroning America and its dollar as the world's reserve currency. This group has added some heavy hitters earlier this year: UAE, Egypt, Iran, and Ethiopia. Let me say that again. They have added UAE, Egypt, Iran, and Ethiopia. They've also sent an invite to Saudi Arabia, the world's top oil producer. Both Mohammed bin Salman says he is still thinking it over, or he's still contemplating this. If Saudi Arabia jumps in on this, BRICS will then control 42% of the global oil and gas market, and that could seriously flip the script on how oil deals are completely done, making it so much easier to use local currencies instead of the U.S. dollar. They won't need it anymore. They can completely bypass the U.S. dollar. Let me give you a quote from Vladimir Putin. Quote, this is what he made. This is a statement he made on this recent meeting they had about this endeavor. Okay, listen what he says. Quote, if oil producers in the Middle East stop using the U.S. dollar, it will be the end of the dollar. It appears that BRICS wants to strike the U.S. dollar where it hurts the most, the oil market. The dollar's value relies on its demand. If demand drops, so does the dollar. BRICS is calling on oil producers to ditch the dollar altogether, and the strategy is starting to bear fruit. The dollar's share of global reserves is shrinking at a rate 10 times faster than the average over the past 20 years. Analysts blame U.S. sanctions against those tied to geopolitical spats like Russia's conflict with Ukraine. Meanwhile, countries are scrambling for dollar alternatives, leading to the rise of new payment systems like Russia's SPFS and China's CIPS. As of July of this year, nearly 70 countries have started de-dollarization one way or another. How are they doing this? They're exploring bilateral currency swaps and other independent payment methods. BRICS is even talking about creating a new common currency backed by BRICS is even talking about creating a new common currency backed by real assets, not just gold, and also crypto. Let me say that again, and also crypto. Why is this important? Let me put a little tent stake up here, and I'm going to come back because I want to bring out something here. We brought this up on Monday night's broadcast. Former President Donald Trump was in his last election was completely vocal about his opposition to the introduction of a digital currency by the U.S. government. He was completely against it, but he has flipped now, and his stance has softened on this. In fact, as we pointed out yesterday, if you've heard yesterday's podcast, we talked about this, his recent shift on his stance on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency has now become prevalent, and you could see this in some of his talks. He has promised to end what he calls Joe Biden's war on crypto and aims to become the crypto president. He even made this statement. And why is this important? Because even his vice president his VP choice, J.D. Vance, has been very vocal on his stance of cryptocurrency, and he's a huge supporter of Bitcoin and is invested in it personally. China's President Xi Jinping made a statement. He said, quote, we must work together to build a fair and equitable international financial system that reflects the realities of the world today. He went in further and said, the West attempts to isolate us have only strengthened our resolve to create a financial system independent of the U.S. dollar. And by the way, guess who is strengthening their ties with China, Russia, and Iran, and even Kim Jong-un of North Korea. Then you had this piece. Let me pull this up. I'm going to show you this. This was from Forbes. Look at this headline. Will the new UK government introduce a new digital identity system? Let me say that again. Will the United Kingdom and their government introduce a new digital identification system or identity system? What the heck is this about? According to reports, the UK government has signaled to introduce what is being called a new digital verification system, which holds the potential to revolutionize the way we interact with digital services and data. The proposed Digital Information and Smart Data Bill introduces innovative data use and data sharing methods to improve ease of use in public services. The government hopes three data uses will accelerate innovation, investment, and productivity across the UK. All of these include digital verification services, a national underground asset register, and smart data schemes. The first concerns digital identity, with the bill suggesting that digital verification services will lessen the everyday burdens on businesses by reducing cost, time, and data leakage. The economic benefits of secure digital identities are estimated to be a substantial $600 million a year, providing a significant boost to the UK. Now, this comes as earlier this year, the EU passed laws to bring in a secure and trustworthy digital wallet for all Europeans. Under that new law, digital wallets will allow citizens to link, listen to this, you can link your national digital identity with proof of other personal attributes. For example, driver's license, qualifications, bank accounts. Citizens can prove their identity and share electronic documents from their digital wallets via their mobile phones. Users remain in control of the digital credentials in their wallets to ensure that only information that needs to be shared will be shared. By 2026, each member state must make a digital identity wallet available to its citizens. Folks, listen to me. Again, a global digital identification system is the framework, listen to this, that enables the creation, management, and verification of digital identities on a global scale. This system aims to provide individuals, organizations, and devices with a unique digital identity that can be used to access services, perform transactions, and establish trust in an online and offline environment. Let me give you some of the components of this. The process of generating a unique digital identifier for an individual, organization, or device. This identifier is often linked to various attributes such as your name, your date of birth, your biometric data, and other personal or organizational information. Number two, mechanisms to verify the authenticity of digital identities and authenticate users. This will include multi-factor authentication, biometric verification, and cryptographic techniques to ensure that identities are legitimate and secure. They will also create this where it will ensure that a digital identity can be recognized and trusted globally, regardless of where it was issued. Accessibility and inclusion. A digital identity ensures that this system is accessible to all individuals. Come on, somebody, all great and small, rich, poor, and free, including those in remote or undeserved areas. This involves creating user-friendly interfaces and providing support for different languages and literacy levels. All sectors of our society will be a part of this. Government services, banking, financial transactions, healthcare services, e-commerce, and all of it will be a part of this. The selling point that they're selling this to the masses is that it is that this reduces fraud, it improves access to services, it enhances trust in digital interactions, and it gives examples of initiatives working towards global digital identification, including the United Nations ID 2020 initiative and the World Bank's Identification for Development ID 4D program. Now, look, I know that's a lot right there. I know some of y'all's, your head's like, what? What did you just say? I know it's a lot of information to take in, but friends, let me leave you with this. Here's the bottom line. Let me get back to the Bible. All of this, I believe, is creating the framework for the future Antichrist system. Remember, the Antichrist will use the technology of his day to track humanity, and I have no doubt that all of the framework is there, all of the tools, all of the resources is there. Let me give you some of these. Number one, the Antichrist could easily access a centralized database. This is a global, again, this is this global digital identification system. This would involve a centralized database where personal information on you, your biometric data, your digital footprints of every individual on the planet are stored. This would give the Antichrist real-time monitoring and tracking of every individual's movements and activities on the globe. How about a mandatory digital ID? This system could make it mandatory for all individuals to have a digital ID to access essential services like banking, healthcare, education, and transportation. Without this ID, individuals would be unable to participate in society at all. So again, it starts with a digital ID, but again, we know according to Revelation 13, it's eventually going to go to something in the right hand or in the forehead. So I'm telling you guys, the blueprints and the framework is here. And then let's look at the surveillance technologies. Advanced surveillance technologies that we have today, facial recognition, AI-powered cameras, tracking devices, robots that straight out of iRobot and Terminator. We just talked about that the other night. All of this is available for the Antichrist's his box of toys that he could use here, if you would. Then he has complete financial control. How? By linking digital IDs to financial systems. Remember, Revelation 13 says it's a buying, selling, and trading system. If we have societies that are digital and cashless, they could be manipulated or restricted or even monitored by enforcement or even accounts being frozen. Are you hearing me? And then we know, according to Revelation 13, if you don't take this mark, the Antichrist is going to know that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And John says that you will die as an account of your, as you rejecting the mark of the beast. And then I believe China has created something that I have no doubt that the Antichrist will use, and it's called a social credit system. This system, again, scores individuals based on their behavior, their social interactions, their compliance with the regime's rules, their government, affecting their access to various services and privileges. Then you have this advancement of AI. I'm talking about this advancement of AI that is capable of predicting and influencing human behavior, tracking dissidents, and enforce conformity. AI could analyze vast amounts of data to identify potential threats or opposing or opposition to the Antichrist's rule. Think about this. So you have this kind of AI that is able to predict crime before it takes place. So if you've, in other words, guys, they're gonna have the MO of every individual out there that fits the threat risk assessment. They're going to know if you're a threat to the Antichrist, and they'll be able to point you out in a crowd through this technology. You know what else they're going to use? They're going to use the, no doubt, listen to this. I believe the Antichrist is going to use social media as it is today, the big tech giants. He's going to use propaganda and misinformation against you. He will be able to control information, spread propaganda, and suppress dissent. How? By tracking online activities and communications, the system could identify and neutralize sources of opposition or counter narratives. Oh, that's right. They're already doing that. What about healthcare monitoring? Wait a minute. You're saying that the Antichrist will be able to control healthcare? Listen, a digital ID will absolutely include health data. What this is going to do is allow the system, because you'll be in the database, and healthcare, hospitals, medical facilities will have all your information. They'll be able to track and control and access to healthcare based on compliance with certain rules or regulations. Hello. I could really go down a rabbit trail here and talk about the pandemic and how hospitals was rejecting surgeries unless you complied come on, with certain mandates. That was, again, another type and shadow, another picture, another prelude to what's coming. All of this will be used to enforce mandatory medical procedures or restrict health care for non-compliance. You don't take the mark, you don't get the kidney. You don't take the mark, you don't get the heart transplant. You don't take the mark, you don't get your insulin. You don't take the mark, you don't get your medication. Law enforcement will absolutely be under the thumb of the Antichrist. They'll be roaming the streets, and you'll be hunted down like dogs. And I know you say, well, Brother Ricky, that sounds so dystopian. I know it doesn't it? That sounds so much like 1984, the novel. I know, doesn't it? And again, that was called predictive programming. All of that stuff is to prepare you, is to condition you to this day, to where we're coming, where we're headed, where we're spearheaded. Where, again, I made this statement the other day. We are literally things. Guys, let me close with this. Let me close with this thought, and we'll be off tomorrow, Wednesday, the 24th, and we'll be back here on Thursday. But let me give you this closing thought. Have you ever known a time? Think about everything. And we've had more events, guys. I'm talking about major events, earth-shattering events, literally, because it's affecting the globe, not just America. But we're having global events that are transpiring that are on a scale that we've never seen before. And we're having more events, and we've had more events in 2 weeks than we typically do in a year. Mostly, a lot of times we would have one of these events that would take place in 1 year, and that would be the major event to highlight that year when you go back and look in retrospect. But guys, we've had, I mean, major, major events. We've had just in the past 2 weeks. We've had an attempted assassination against the 45th president, and that which is riddled with conspiracies. Number two, we've had a major cyber IT quote-unquote glitch that impacted the globe. Number three, we've had the sitting president of the United States throw in the towel, and now who knows who's going to be the actual nominee? Who knows if he's even still alive at this point? There's so much, there's so much speculation, conspiracies, hypotheses, all this stuff is floating around. It is absolutely nuts and crazy, and it's exactly what the Bible said it would be. It would be perilous. It would be distress. It would be perplexity. And we're here, friends. We've talked about this. Year after year, we've said it. It's like birth pangs, that they will increase, that they will intensify. You want to know what it's going to be like in the last days. Friends, look up. Lift up your eyes. Because Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, it's time to look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, you can find us there on our main website. I implore you to download a free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can get it today by going to your Play Store. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. Have everything right there at your fingertips. Download, or again, just get it. If you go to the visual of this, it won't be on Facebook, YouTube or Rumble, under the description of this video, it's going to say download a free app. If you'll just click on that link, you can pick it up today and get it to you. And again, hit yes to push notifications. Be sure to do that. And as always, guys, if this ministry blessed you, encouraged you, equips you, and all the above, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can make out a check or money order to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Listen, guys, we'll be off tomorrow, and we'll be back on Thursday, the 25th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We will probably not be doing a viewpoint segment like this. We're probably going to do an equipping message, because my head is spinning from all this stuff. We need to take a break. We need to equip the body of Christ. I know many of you guys love the equipping messages. Let's equip some saints. Let's get you some edification out there. We're going to get into the Word. We'll see what the Lord will give us. And I can't wait to be back here in a couple days, and we'll share a great word from the Lord. So until then, I pray that the Lord bless you, may keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a couple days. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.